Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today. Jesus,
I need mercy. He began to teach them. I need cleansing. Blessed are the poor. From the burden of so many sin. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown great mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. They will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, lie about you, and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Be excited, because great is your reward in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You cannot be hidden. People don't light a lamp and put it under a cover. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father.
Hey everyone, welcome once again. This is our summer series, can you believe it? Right here, it's our eighth in the series of really entering the kingdom on the Beatitudes, and we're thrilled. Just before we get into that message, and go ahead and get your Bibles going and a bulletin too, and if you don't have a Bible, if you raise your hand, our stellar ushers will put one in your hot little hand. We'll be, and I'm talking hot little hand, I'm sure, right? Today's a wonderful, toasty, warm day. Hey, last Sunday, Ainsley and I, we were right there at Hope Chapel Rosarito. We were celebrating with our wonderful missionary family, the Godwins, the ninth anniversary of Hope Chapel. It was a wonderful occasion. Great festivities even afterwards. We brought tribute to their pastors and to the church on your behalf. Met with the church council. That was very significant. Met with their staff. Building forward to what that staff, they're feeling called to the mission field, which is really the Godwins family, I'm telling you, pretty exciting. And Don and Sandy have tremendous vision for the church. We were honored to see that. Then Monday morning, we spent the night there Monday morning having some significant hours with Don and Sandy. Don's health is strong. Sandy is a capable minister. They have seen the hand of God. Many of you get their emails. And they have secured a new dwelling. A miracle happened even on Friday. They had emailed us and said, guess what? Just as we had prayed, Pastor Paul and Ainsley, we had a missionary unit leaving the nation and gave our name, and the doors opened to a beautiful, safe home for $950 a month. Usual rents in that kind of region is about either 12 to 1500. Can you imagine what happened to Mexico when you could barter? But they are thrilled. It literally is a miracle, and we're so glad that that has happened for them. I want to give a quick shout out to the Marshalls. Way to go, Larry and Barbara. They're celebrating 54th wedding anniversary. Can you imagine? Yep. Way to go. Got a trade secret going on there. You married right. That's how it is. Well, friends, let me just lead us in prayer, and we'll get right into the Word. It's about persecution today. It's about persecution according to our plan. So, Father, thank you. You have a plan for each one of our lives, and that brings us such hope and reassurance. So, Lord, speak to us. Assure our hearts what is about to happen, maybe, or what has taken place in the past. Lord, your Word brings revelation and understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're taking a look here because if you'll notice a couple of things that are worth noting. Today, message is entitled Turning Up the Contrast. And what I mean by that, though we're looking at the Beatitudes and about persecution, I'm in Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 10. That contrast of when we start to really show, hey, are we really following the Lord or are we kind of blended in things? When I taught contrast, I remember when I had to move, and I didn't have to. My parents didn't move me out of the home. But I was age 20, and I worked with my parents, and I just didn't want to talk shop when I came home. And so I was desperate. I moved out into my own apartment. Man, big time, Paul. But with that, I didn't have much furnishing. I was willing to take anything, and I had a 13-inch black and white TV with rabbit ears. Now, I'm sure many of you don't even know what I'm talking about. That was even before beepers. I even had one of those. Never used it, but it sure looked cool on my belt clip. But though that black and white television was a point of frustration, because not only did you have to adjust the rabbit ears to get reception, but there was often times, and I finally found out the secret, but because the black and the white blended and was diluted, there was such a difficulty making the figures out. I could hear something, I just couldn't see what I was seeing. It's like, what's going on? Until somebody said, man, your contrast knob is broken. You've got to work the contrast knob. Yeah, to distinguish between black and white. And sure enough, when I got that thing dialed in and fixed just right, I could see something. It still wasn't crystal clear. The HD wasn't there yet, but man, contrast is so important. And to many Christians, sometimes that contrast starts to get diluted. And we turn gray. And nobody really knows where we stand. And I've served the Lord a long time, and my responsibilities are caring for people, and I've seen and have even experienced dilution in my own life, but I can tell a diluted Christian that there's just gray matter. You can't find the lines. There's no distinction. Two things happen. One is they just get offended about things. They start to major on the minors. These things really aren't really all that important as well as compared to, man, getting people saved and brought into the kingdom. But diluted Christians find themselves easily worked up and extremely upset over things. The other signal is that a diluted Christian seems to have a low-grade depression. They just kind of work in depression. And, boy, I get depressed. You know what really my cure is? I still go out and tell somebody about Jesus. I will actually at times go knock on somebody's door and introduce myself. Hey, I'm the local pastor. If you don't have a church to call on, here I am. And by the way, since I'm here, do you know what God has done for you to get to heaven for free? Everybody loves that word. Can I tell you about it? And they start to tell me their story, and I realize they're more messed up than I am, and I'm feeling good by that time. So it's important to think beyond ourselves and start to make ourselves available. But a Christian that needs to turn up the contrast is so helpful. But when we do, and there's distinct lines wanting to live for God, Jesus says, guess what? I'm very clear. He says, you will suffer persecution. Now, when it comes to first thing I'd like to add, I want to admit I am no one who is in favor of persecution. I don't like persecution. Jesus says it's going to come. It just seems logical to me that people should wonderfully respect a Christian's values and lifestyle. Wouldn't you think that? Come on! This is just me. We should all live together in perfect harmony. Jesus says, you're going to suffer persecution. If you live that way and your contrast is so dialed up to me. So persecution still happening. He's honest about persecution. We take a look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 to verse 12. I'm reading from the New King James. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." When we take a look at this topic of persecution, we've got to remind ourselves good people are persecuted in this life. Here's some current happenings that have been reported. A Ukrainian bishop is deported from Belarus for religious activities. The Taliban shot and killed a Christian aid worker in Kabul, Afghanistan. The Islamic extremists randomly killed 7 Christians in Mosul, Iraq. A man in Mexico kills 3 members of a Christian family who were just happened to be his neighbors, and he didn't like them. So when we take a look at this, over 100 million have been killed in the 20th century for their faith, for their faith. That is more, that's a lot of people, that is more than all previous 19 centuries, even including wars. That's a lot of people. So persecution still happens. Your note says persecute is to harass, injure, grieve, or afflict because of belief. So when we look at this notation here and some of the things we'll see today and even next week, because I think the timing is perfect once again. You have been with us when we started a year ago in our series on 1st and 2nd Peter. The Apostle Peter was writing to a persecuted group of Christians that were scattered. They were running because of persecution. We ourselves were saying, hey, be prepared. Persecution is obvious in our day and age, but it is picking up. And we have our dear young people going off to school, colleges, and university, and there's persecution there. It's interesting when we take a look here, because Jesus in Matthew 5, it says, for righteousness' sake. Now, this is the kind that comes from having your life identify with Jesus Christ. That is what he's talking about. Your life identifies and people see it. Now, this is not persecution that comes from something we've done by way of sin or poor decisions. That's not persecution. Challenges do come and those troubles happen. Let's take a look at another one. He talks about revile. Jesus used the word literally, revile, when they revile and persecute you. Literally, that means that they will throw things into your face. That's what revile means. Right up there, boom. Probably the biggest example of that is when Jesus is on the cross for you and me, right? And people are in there, his face, reviling him, saying things. They didn't say it in secret. They said it right to his listening ear. Second thing that Jesus uses the word when or will. They will persecute you. So, verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. So that element of when, because why would that even happen? It's because you represent good. And there are people who are evil. So you are a good person, and there are evil people that feel threatened by your lifestyle. And something about evil, you can never try to barter with evil. There's been books read and written about evil, how it just wants to consume and take over. You can make a covenant with it, peace pact. Evil doesn't work that way. It'll only turn on the person because evil is just evil. It never becomes good. So when we take a look at evil people, they always hate good. So why did Jesus and God's people suffer such fate? Because they're doing what's right. And that's what he's saying. When you do the righteous thing, when you represent me. So I think it's worth noting, number three, he uses the word falsehood or falsely accused. Now, when you see here in verse 11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, those will happen, and what ends up taking place, Jesus uses the word falsely. Have you ever noticed how people who don't love and value good, how they bring false accusations against Christians? Have you ever seen and caught that lie? It's like, wow, how do you combat a lie like that? That's just so blatant. But how about the entertainment industry? The modern entertainment seems to go out of their way to portray pastors or priests or Christians as bumbling fools and out of touch and homophobic and just messengers of hate speech. Go out of their way to portray that, saying that falsely about who you are, who we are. So Jesus said these things are going to happen. We have to be careful that we don't become diluted. Diluted like sugar when, man, placed in a hot drink, that all of a sudden you just melt under the hot, extreme, overheated elements, just diluted. So turning up the contrast is so important. So when Jesus comes along in our notation here, he's honest about persecution, point number one. Let's look at Luke chapter 21. Can you find Luke? We'll go to the right, past Mark. Go a little bit further to Luke 21. And because of some of the latest things happening in our news today, seeing what's happening over there in some of the other nations that are developing atomic weaponry, I think it's important that even Luke 21, we bring up something here. In Luke chapter 21, and I like Luke 21, especially look at verse 27. This is the highlight verse here, verse 27. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Don't you love that? I just thought I'd throw that out there. That is the ultimate, and that's going to happen. Everyone's going to see him. Matter of fact, wouldn't it be great when we're raptured up, we're actually following him as we're coming on in. Woo-hoo! But before that day and that event happens, check it out what he has to say here. Verse 8, you have religious deception. Verse 8 talks about that. Take heed that you are not deceived. So false religions have always been there. So just kind of remind ourselves, false teaching, false religion. When people, oh, there's all kinds of religions that are out there. Who do you believe and how do you know which ones? Man, Jesus said there's going to be a lot of them prior to the event of his return. So let's just make mention of that. How about the other one, verse 9 and 10, we have international conflict. Look at verse 9. I'm still Luke 20. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So international conflict will happen first. Who knows? We could be close to our departure date. Let's go a little further. There's natural disasters in verse 11. And then there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. And I don't know, it doesn't say, but when I read these things, I can just envision the disciples' jaws dropping. Because they still didn't get it after his resurrection in Acts 1. Now, Lord, will you restore the kingdom to Israel? It's like, well, no way. Before that happens, there's some fallout that's going to take place. But he does say some things about persecution. Letter A, hated by religious establishment. Look at verse 11 again. There will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, deliver you up to the synagogue and prisons. And that element of synagogue. That was the modern-day courts at that time. Look at letter B, hated by the secular world, still verse 12. And you will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. There's an obvious connection there. You belong to Jesus? Get in here. We've got a word with you, and now we're going to treat you unkind. So because of that, we have some great men and women of God in our Foursquare movement that are in extremely hostile environments. So often when we pray in our missions prayer calendar, their names can't be mentioned. Sometimes it's a pseudo-name, but they can't be mentioned. The electronic style of social media, that even an image or a name, they're searching it out to see who is trying to infiltrate our very distinct religious lifestyle. And Christians are certainly not welcomed. So we have to be extremely careful about that. You were with us a year and a half ago. We had one of our area missionaries. Great job. But he said, please do not take pictures of me while I'm here. Please do not use my name on any social apps because of the work that I am doing. So, and he explained that. Those are very real areas of families that run a risk of having their lives altered or extreme persecution. How about letter C, betrayed by families? Look at verse 16. And you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. Now, the word friends hurts me because, man, we all need good friends. Like, man, I thought you were my friend. And they will put some of you to death. So letter D, it'll even end in death. So Jesus is very clear about that. You and I need to have a season of reminder about that. These things are very real. You might have experienced persecution as we turn up the contrast knob a little bit in our life. You'll know when you hit it because some will love you and celebrate what God's doing in your life, but others will in your face revile you. And our students are facing that. And I know you and I want to do all we can to pray covering over them. Because if Jesus wanted us out of this world, he would have caused the rapture to happen. There's got to be a work still for us to do. So when we look here, point number two, the early church suffered persecution, Acts 8. We'll take a look at that another time. But what about the disciples? What happened to those disciples? Fox's Book of Martyrs. I would encourage you, read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. And see, that's very encouraging what took place there. These are some of the results or the end of the life of the disciples. Let me read some of these to you. How did they fare would be the question. Because Jesus was telling them, they're going to persecute you. In the book of Acts, remember Stephen? He was stoned to death. James, beheaded by Herod in the year 40 AD. Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, was dragged by a bull through cobblestone streets. His body banged both sides of the street as he went through the town. And at the end of the run, they found out he wasn't quite dead, so they beat him with clubs until he was. Philip the Evangelist, remember that guy? Ethiopian eunuch, Acts 8. How did he die? Crucifixion. Andrew, crucifixion. Paul, beheaded in Rome. Matthias, the one who took over for Judas Iscariot, he was stoned, and finding out that he wasn't dead after the stoning, they beheaded him. Matthew, beheaded. Jude, crucifixion. Peter, crucifixion, but because he felt he was unworthy to be crucified like Jesus, they crucified him upside down. Thomas, remember Doubting Thomas? Doubting Thomas was preaching in a foreign country. That area of India, man, they had a revival because of Thomas. Some of our own members are aware there are great Christians there in India. They should attribute it to Thomas. Thomas preaching in a foreign country where many were idol worshipers, and so many were turning to Jesus Christ that the idol priest of the cult got so angry with jealousy, they held him up against a wall while other priests ran him through with their spears again and again and again till he died. When we take a look at persecution, you really know that somebody is going to probably have to really believe and live what they are believing. So Jesus is talking about that, how we need to be careful, because one of the things he says, persecution's going to come. It's going to happen. When we look here at point number 3 once again, today's Christians rejoice for the honor of suffering persecution. I want to just add this. It's amazing when the Bible comes along and Jesus is talking about how our attitude should be in Matthew chapter 5. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. It's interesting there in verse 12. I'm in Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. What is the reward? I mean, what is there? Naturally, he talks about being in good company. Man, they did this to people who were way before you. Remember when Jesus says that a student is not greater than a teacher? They persecuted me. They're going to come at you. If you don't turn up the contrast knob, chances are you won't have any persecution. Neither will anyone's life be influenced by your life. But Jesus says, if you're going to live for me because of my name's sake. And so first, just like to add, what a reward would be to be honored, to be taken in such a way, I think it's a compliment, because people would view you as a serious threat to their way of life. If they didn't feel you were a threat to them, they probably would leave the Christian alone. But because there's power and majesty that goes with you as a Christian, the evil doesn't like that. But what an honor to be included in that collective group of people who are persecuted for Jesus Christ. Two, the privilege of being identified with Christ. I really would say, man, you're on the right track. You are on the right track. In Matthew 10:22, Jesus says, it's because of me you're going to be persecuted. Are you still in? Remember I asked, when you received Christ and you signed up, what did you expect would come about being a Christian? What were you anticipating happening in your life? Did we anticipate people, friends, family, even parents not wanting us anymore? Great story about John Wesley. Remember him? Great preacher in the revival era in England. He was preaching away, and he knew what persecution was all about. People by the droves were coming to faith in Jesus, but he suffered persecution. His own biography talks about how he's riding his horse, and it dawned on him 3 days without anybody cussing him out, nobody throwing rocks at him. 3 days, and he was grieved because he didn't have any persecution, and he felt something was wrong. Oh, God, did I sin? He got off his horse, went into a field, got on his knee, Lord, what have I done wrong? Am I diluted? Am I a backslidden Christian? And he went on and on like that. And somebody across the road in the other field yelled, shut up, you stupid preacher. And he was yelling to God, what did I do wrong? Forgive me, God. Didn't hear the man across the road. So the man found a brick, heaved it at John Wesley, and the brick went, whoo, missed his head. John saw it land right near him, jumped on his feet, said, thank God I still have his presence. That's so isn't it amazing? There's something that we're carrying. Do people know in our own lives that we're a Christian? Do your neighbors know that you're a Christian? Sometimes we can be diluted so that people just know we go to church. And so when we deal with this, finally, number 4, prepare to confess Christ, the importance of that. To experience a life change is one of the great benefits of what God's doing in our life. And I want to encourage you with this. It's not the comfortable life that sees the biggest change. God changes our lives, and it seems to be usually under tremendous duress, challenges. Those things can bring us closer to God, and they should, or further back. It's not those that are prospering. It's not the prosperous ones with a lot of wealth and things taken care of. King Solomon, he never made it in the Heroes Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. His name's not mentioned there. He never had to faith it out at all. He had everything at his disposal. The wisest man, richest man. If he needed something, he just wrote a check. So he didn't have, his faith wasn't stretched. But Hebrews 11 has a list of people who had their bodies cut in half, fed to the lions, burned by fire. See, their names are mentioned. Man, Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, it's going to cost you. We recognize we have a hostile environment coming around. We thank God for wonderful sanctuaries like Hope Chapel, where we come in and like-mindedness, get a chance to be encouraged by one another. We need each other, but once again, God has a message to get to the world. Who's he going to use? Who's he going to use? The church. What will it cost us? For some, maybe everything. Would you still be willing to go? See, that's a condition you'll make whether we turn the contrast knob up and really expose ourselves as Christians to become diluted and influence nobody and live a long life on this earth. Let's give it our all for Jesus. Would you stand to your feet? Let's sing this song. We'll be right back with prayer.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. You set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. To set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Just before Ainsley comes, I want to just lead us in prayer right now. Would you just close your eyes with me, and those of you who are watching, comfort of your home. If you know you could do a better job representing Jesus and have not, but you're willing for that fire of God to come, we need the Holy Spirit. Our boldness is not of ourselves. We need the fire of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you know you want your life to matter to others. Would you just raise your hand? Just put that hand up. Keep it hand high. Keep it up. Good. Great. Praise God. You are asking the Lord to make you a more potent witness. Everybody look up at me now with your hands still lifted high. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. That's bold right there. Just, hey, Lord, I want you to use me, even if it costs me everything. Ah. So, Father, we want to thank you right now. You see the hands that are presented to you, but you see the heart, and you know moving forward what tomorrow holds for us. And Lord, we refuse to let fear dictate or the fear of man somehow sidetrack us. That be removed in the name of Jesus. And that, Lord, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we embrace you. And thank you for giving us boldness, not just to say, hey, this is right and righteous to live for God and to believe in his son, Jesus. But that, Lord, we will experience an ability to talk beyond our own ability, even when confronting wrong-thinking, evil-minded people who have lies to share. May we speak the truth and set captives free. So we thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, now come. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone. Wonderful. Let's thank the Lord, shall we, as well? Praise God. Praise God.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.